And Lord, as you reveal yourself to us, we pray that you'll give us courage to respond to you. Father, we pray that the things of our weekend will be pushed aside, the things of our week to come, and that we'll hear from you directly as you speak through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I sat down at my computer preparing for the enormous task at hand, drew in a deep breath, and I began to type. B-A-B-Y-N-A-M-E-S. I paused for a moment, and then I hit enter on my computer. And away the search engine went. And within seconds, I had more options about baby names than I could sort through in an entire lifetime. I'm talking baby names on family origin, baby names on letter, baby names on nationality, trendy baby names, celebrity baby names, old-fashioned baby names, you name it, I had it. Short, sweet, sound, syllable, whatever option. I even found one website who boasted this: use our baby name finder to see more than 100,000 baby names from around the world. Now, how does one process 100,000 baby names? I was an expectant father, getting ready to be a new dad, and I was just overwhelmed by the task, and I sat there thinking to myself, how in the world are we going to name our baby? How are we going to figure out what to do? I know it sounds like such a simple task until you actually have to do it. And then all of a sudden it gets difficult. I even talked to one couple in our church who told me that their baby was born nameless. And for 3 days, three extra days, they had to stay at the hospital because the hospital wouldn't let them leave until they had named their child. So before you laugh, it is a difficult task. If you think that sounds a little crazy, then what about the one where the baby received four names in a published birth announcement that was sent out 700 years before the birth of the child? Nice, huh? It's true. We read about that announcement in a Bible book called Isaiah, chapter 9. If you go to the middle of your Bible, Psalms, turn right, go over four books, you'll find the book of Isaiah. Turn there with me as we begin a new series this morning titled, There's Just Something About That Name. Billions of names in the world, and yet the Bible tells us that there's one name above all those other names. And long before we knew him by that name, this person actually received four names. Each one of them described something unique about his character. And so this Christmas season, we're going to begin looking at each one of those names and talk about what we can learn not only from those names, but from him directly. The first one we find here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah wrote this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." Wonderful Counselor. You know, there's a lot of reasons that people name their children certain things. My parents, believe it or not, named me after three heroes of the Texas Revolution. They wanted me to remember I was deeply Texan. We named our daughter Lydia because that was the name of the Bible study class that three women had prayed over my wife in, the Lydia class. All kinds of reasons, sometimes they're funny, why we're named certain things. The one thing you don't see is you don't see people out there naming their child based on what they will do or what they will become. Think about it. Nobody's out there naming their baby Hall of Famer or Oscar winner or Mr. President. Why? Well, because we can't base names on what we don't know. Unless, of course, you're this baby, the one Isaiah talks about, the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, well, that's another story. And it tells us why this baby was given this name. Why Wonderful Counselor? Well, a couple of things. First of all, because he is divinely different. You say, what does that mean? He's divinely different. Well, think about it. It's one thing if we own the first of something, or the best, or the only. It's another thing if we just have something that everybody else has. You know, they got it, and so then we got it. But when we get something that nobody else has, suddenly we feel different. The same thing was true when Isaiah spoke this particular name. To say that no other baby would be born like the one he mentioned here is a monumental understatement. Truly, this child would be the first, the best, the only. He'd be different from everybody else. And even to the end of his life, even today, he's different. But why? Because he makes us different. Kind of like the little boy I read about who was born in the late 60s. His kindergarten teachers were quite taken aback when they first met him. He hopped on the school bus with his little name tag that read, Fruit Stand. Right there on his name tag, Fruit Stand. And his teachers tried not to make a big deal about it. They thought, well, that's an odd-sounding name, but we won't embarrass the little boy. So the teachers just went along with it. Why, hello there, Fruit Stand. It's nice to meet you. Come on board. And all the way to the school, they said, well, Fruit Stand, what do you like to do? And the little boy didn't respond. They got to school, and they just continued on. Well, Fruit Stand, come sit over here. And Fruit Stand, it's okay. You can play with the blocks now. And finally, at the end of the day, one savvy teacher finally had the nerve to walk up to the young man and stare at him for a minute. And then she reached over and she turned over his name tag. And there on the back of his name tag, printed in neat letters, was the word Anthony. Well, it seems that Anthony's parents had been told to write the name of the bus stop on his name tag. And somehow that morning when he got dressed, his name tag was put on backwards. And so all day long, poor old Anthony was called Fruit Stand. And nobody knew why. Friends, I wonder if that's perhaps how the people in Isaiah's day felt when they first heard the name Wonderful ascribed to this new little boy they were hearing about. The Hebrew word translates something marvelous. Something extraordinary or something amazing. Now you talk about an odd sounding name. There wasn't much wonderful going on back then in the national landscape. In fact, it was just the opposite. When people looked around in their life, they were in bondage and captivity. Gloom and despair, oppression and enemy rule. Not much wonderful about their current situation. And certainly, not from the birth of another baby, even with an odd-sounding name. But friends, that's just it. That's why the Son of God is divinely different. Why He's wonderful. Because He always surpasses what we see and expect. What does that mean? Well, that means in our lives He can turn our struggle into victory. I mean, that struggle that we don't think we're ever going to get past, the one we've been grappling with forever, it seems, all of a sudden, we've overcome it. Maybe in our lives it means that He takes a particular challenge and He shapes it into peace. I mean, the thing that is always on our hearts and minds, the thing that we think about when we go to sleep and we think about when we wake up, and it's always there, suddenly, right there in the midst of our challenge, there's peace. Or maybe He takes that adversary, you know, the one that you really can't have a conversation with, the one that when you speak to, they just go, how are you today? And suddenly, He takes that adversary's heart and He softens it. Or He opens our eyes to something about that adversary that we never saw before. He can because He's different.
He responds differently. He feels differently. And we can do these things. We too can be different if we trust in Him. Suddenly in our lives, we can give up control, but still be under control. We can let go of some of our money to the Lord and yet still have all we need. How's that possible? We can turn the other cheek. We can go the extra mile. We can love those who don't love back if we believe that He is truly capable of taking care of us. That's the other thing I think we find out about this name. Why Wonderful Counselor? Well, because He is completely competent. Think about it this way. It's one thing to go to lunch with a friend and get insight from them about a particular issue in your life. It's another thing to hear from a person of authority. From one, you can get opinions. From the other, you can get a plan of action. From one, you can get feelings. I agree. I wouldn't like that either. From the other, you can get a purpose and wisdom. For Isaiah, though, to tell the people that a child would be called counselor was like saying an infant would be called an airline pilot. Which baby is going to be born and you are to call him airline pilot? What? Well, that's ridiculous sounding. What does that mean? That's what God's people felt back then. They didn't need another baby in the land with some strange sounding name. They needed a way out of the land. They didn't need advice. They needed answers. And friends, that's exactly why Isaiah called him counselor. The little Hebrew word translates one with authority. Wonderful one with authority. It means one who speaks direction. Wonderful one who speaks direction. It can mean one who gives purpose. Wonderful one who gives purpose. This is more than just simply getting opinions or advice from people. God's people had already tried that. They'd look to the stars for answers. Lord, we don't understand. So they're looking up at the constellations. They had consulted mediums and spirits. Go back and look at their history. They had consorted with foreign enemies and kings. And every time they did, they wound up right back in the same situation or worse. But that's why the Son of God is completely competent. Why He's called here Counselor. Because He's not just offering another opinion. He's offering a better plan, a perfect plan. And even more, He can make it happen. See, a lot of times when we go seek a counselor, they give us steps, but then it's up to us to put into motion. With God and His Spirit working in us, He gives us the plan and He makes it work. Wonderful Counselor. It's amazing. Maybe that's why the New Testament writers pointed out what they did. Maybe that's why old Luke pointed out that at 12 years old, Jesus' parents said this. They found Him in the temple's court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard Jesus was amazed at His understanding and His answers. That's what Luke recorded. Or maybe it's why John noted in his gospel that as a grown man, people said of Jesus, no one ever spoke the way this man does. Nobody ever speaks this way. The guards, the people around him, we never heard anything like this. Or maybe it's why old Matthew made sure in his gospel that he mentioned when the crowds heard Jesus speak, they were astonished at His teaching. I mean, thousands of years of mankind and intelligence had come by. Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, pick your person.
And nobody had spoken like this. And we know from reading the New Testament, the smartest people of the day tried to trap him. They tried to ask Jesus trick questions. And whoop, he'd slip right out of it. How is he able to do that? Because he's a counselor. He's one with authority. Not only does he know how to speak, he knows how to respond to other people, to situations, to challenges, to problems. And for us, friends, I think what Jesus says often seems hard to understand simply because it's not the way we do it. It's not that what he's saying is that confusing. It really doesn't matter what version of the scripture you're reading. That's not the confusion. The confusion comes because he says that our strength lies in weakness. Or that our victory comes from surrender. Or that to be first, we have to be last. Or that to live, we have to die. So perhaps the question isn't whether Jesus is competent, but whether we're obedient. Whether we're willing to do what he tells us to do. Or whether we're going to honor his name above all other names and opinions in our lives. You know, a lot of names have been produced over the years. That's why there's so many that we can draw from when we're trying to name a child. Take the year 1809. Any of you around then, by the way? I'm just checking. Okay. The 1809, the international scene was in tumult. The world was in tension. Foreign leaders were invading here and there. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? And at that same time, during all of that chaos, 1809, the last thing on people's minds were the babies being born that year. I mean, there were bigger things in the world to worry about, the economy, the war. Texas wasn't even a state yet. No wonder things were a mess. Babies being born that year. Children named Louis Braille, future inventor of the blind reading system. William Gladstone, future Prime Minister of Britain. Alfred Lord Tennyson, future poet. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the future physician and writer. Felix Mendelssohn, the future German composer. 1809. Edgar Allan Poe, future writer and poet. Kit Carson, the Western man, the future frontiersman. And someone, a little child born in a log cabin named Abraham Lincoln, future president. 200 years ago, those were totally insignificant names. This year, 200 years ago. But today we look at them and we realize how they've shaped the fabric of our world. Try this one. 2009 years ago, a little baby was born. It was the last thing on people's mind. In an obscure spot, in a hole-in-the-wall town, out in the middle of nowhere. And yet, 2009 years later, we know not only did he shape the fabric of the entire world, he's still doing it. I mean, all these other people made their mark. And then they moved on. But this one continues and continues and continues. He shaped my life. He shaped many of your lives. Jesus. What does he want to do in your heart and life? Somehow when we respond to him, he helps us know the steps to take. What are those steps for you? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes and
think about these things? Perhaps today he just wants to show you how different your life can be if you'll only turn to him. Perhaps he's simply wanting to remind you that he's competent to handle all of those details of your life. He can get you from where you are to where he wants you to be if you'll follow him. Maybe today you look at the landscape of your life and you realize you've never given over control to him. I mean, it's one thing to hear about the name of Jesus. It's another thing to let him be in charge of your life. Maybe that's the tug in your heart to completely surrender to him. Could be that there's a particular area of your life that he's pressing you about, a recommitment of some form. Maybe today he just wants to remind you that he really does want to pour out his blessing over your marriage, give you grace in your family, give you peace in the midst of that illness or challenge. Maybe today he's asking you to join this body of faith, to come be a part of what God is doing here. All these things are out there in front of us, and they're ours when we act in faith and respond to him. Nobody else, no other plan, no other person but the person of Jesus can put those things into motion in our lives. Won't you respond to him today? Father, I pray that from the deep echoes of our heart, Lord, we'll be honest with you about where we are in life and about what we need. And Father, as we turn to you, as we trust you, that you'll reward us, you'll care for us. That's our prayer this morning, Lord, as we respond to you in faith. In Jesus' name, Lord. Yeah, in your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we lift these things up to you. Amen. I invite you to stand, and maybe God wants you to respond publicly in some way. Maybe in the privateness of your heart, but you respond as he leads you as we finish out our time of worship together.
Please remain standing for offertory prayers. Our ushers will come forward for our offering. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for your blessings today, and we continue to be thankful in our hearts, Father, for this season that we give thanks to you. Thanks for your goodness, and we thank you today for the blessings you've given us financially, and we love to give back to you, Father, for we know in doing that we are obedient to you, and we praise your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Quick announcement for you. There's several things in your bulletin, but I just wanted to remind you, Live Nativity is coming up, first weekend of the stroll this weekend. We still have some slots to fill, so if you'd be willing to help out with that, there's sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center. And if you'd be willing to be here at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning to help us get the scenes and the set all put together, that would be fantastic. 9 o'clock Wednesday morning, if you have the time to do that, certainly would appreciate the manpower or the womanpower, whichever may fit you. But just an extra pair of hands always helps to put that thing up. It's a little more complicated than it looks, so certainly would appreciate that. Now we're going to kind of transition into something a little different this morning. So if you're a guest with us this morning, we're certainly glad that you're here. If you want to now, in just a minute, take the time to sneak out, that would be more than appropriate as we kind of move into this business time. Parents, if you have children, either in the nursery, preschool area, or children's Sunday school that need you to kind of help them get to this point, now would be the time to go and do that. And so we're just going to kind of hit a transition time for just a little bit. Moms and dads, if you need to go get your kids, guests, if you want to go ahead and sneak on out, you can do that, and we'll